question. Who are the models for devotee Matajis when they are trying to practice Krishna consciousness? Answer: if we look at the scriptures, we have various models. And because we are living in a modern and postmodern age where the scriptures, cultural context and the present cultural context are significantly different. So no models can be applied immediately or directly. We can take inspiration from those models and see how they can be applied in our lives. So here we can look at, in the Bhagavatam itself, we get two distinct models. And if you look at Srila Prabhupada's purports and Srila Prabhupada's instructions overall, there are three different kinds of instructions and statements that Srila Prabhupada makes about women in general, and about women, how they should be in society, how they can also practice Krishna consciousness. So these are given at different places and different contexts, and therefore there is no one standard that applies to everyone. So what are the three models that Srila Prabhupada has talked about in general in this book, or three kinds of statements or models we say? One is probably the most common one, which often those with feminist inclinations find most uncomfortable and even repellent, is what Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Manu Samhita. So where he says that women should be subordinate to men and they should be protected by the father, the husband and the son throughout their lives. And so Srila Prabhupada interestingly quotes this, and we see these models in the Bhagavatam also. In the Bhagavatam there are many great queens who are dedicated to their husbands primarily. So canto after canto in the Bhagavatam, especially we see in the fourth canto, there are repeated examples of the wife of Dhruva Maharaj. Then in the metaphorical story of Puranjana, in his next life when he becomes the wife of Vaidarbhi. And similarly, in the fifth canto, whenever the kings, there are kings and there are wives, the wives take vanaprastha with them and dedicate themselves to the service of the men. And Prabhupada commends those models repeatedly. So this is the traditional Stri Dharma within the Vedic society. And we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, in general, the wives are assisting their husbands, and both are devotees and are practicing devotional service within the traditional Vedic context. So, in that traditional context, it was understood that men and women are different in their nature and in their social roles. And Srila Prabhupada quotes that scriptural statement in his purports. So, if you look at Srila Prabhupada's actual dealing with devotee women, he never imposed this model on anyone. In fact, if devotee Mataji wanted to serve in creative ways, in ways that, especially in the Western world, when the devotee Mataji wanted to serve, and Srila Prabhupada appreciated that, and he said these girls are as good as the boys, these women are as good as the men, they can do similar services, and he appreciated that. And he, in fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a few purports, he criticizes strongly those who criticized him for giving facilities for women to do services that were traditionally the reserves of men. So Srila Prabhupada was quite sensitive in how things are to be applied, and he says that, especially he talks about this context in terms of how when a woman becomes a devotee, then actually she is no longer just a woman. She is a devotee, and she is on the path of transcendence, and then she can serve Krishna in whatever is the best way possible for her. So in the first traditional Stri Dharma that is given in the Vedic culture, the women are subordinate to men. In the Vaishnava path that Srila Prabhupada practically implemented in the early days of ISKCON, he basically treated women as equal to men. Of course, in general, the women would be with their husbands, and they would be also preaching with their husbands, like the three famous couples went to London to preach, and other places also. But Srila Prabhupada encouraged them to render services according to their talents. And in this way, in the as devotee, Mataji Devan would go for book distribution and do various kinds of services. So, the third model, of course, is where the women are superior to men. That is the gopis. Gopis are considered to be the highest devotees, and in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, above all the devotees, the Pandavas, Prahalad, and all the devatas also, and even the Dwarkavasis, the gopis are the highest. So, this model is extremely lofty, and one cannot prematurely adopt that model. But that is also, conceptually speaking, the females are the greatest devotees of Krishna. Of course, the gopis are not just females. We have to see them first as devotees, and later on we can see them as females and Krishna as males. Because that male and female is at the transcendental level, not at the material level. But basically, there are these three models. The women as subordinate to men, women as equal to men in whatever way. Just as men can serve Krishna in different ways, women can serve Krishna in different ways. And in the spiritual realm, a woman can offer the most intimate service to Krishna. So the Madhura Rasa is considered the highest among all rasas. So now, for practicing with devotees, it is the second and third models that are relevant. So in general, Srila Prabhupada quoted this from Manu Samhita, but he never, as I said, tried to implement it. And in Manu Samhita, there is much that is something which cannot be implemented in society, and Srila Prabhupada never tried to implement it. For example, in Manu Samhita, there are statements to the effect that, say, a widow is extremely inauspicious. Now, Kunti Maharani was a widow, and her prayers are in the Srimad Bhagavatam as one of the most celebrated prayers. And these are practically the only prayers on which Srila Prabhupada gave a series of classes systematically, which eventually became a book. And there is Kunti Maharani may by her humility say that I am less intelligent, but her prayers reveal her as extremely intelligent, and there is nothing inauspicious about her. In fact, even hearing her prayers is extremely auspicious. So the Karmakand, the material analysis that is given in Manu Samhita, the material standards that are given in Manu Samhita are not necessarily applicable everywhere. And this is recognized even in Manu Samhita itself. In general, within the Vedic tradition, it is understood that the Samhitas, the law codes that are there, they are contextual. They are not necessarily eternal. And Manu Samhita is among the most well-known of the law codes, but there are other Samhitas also. There are other kinds of law codes also which are given by other great personalities. So They have value, but they have contextual value. And Srila Prabhupada certainly didn't even mention these sort of things in his purports, or leave alone trying to apply them. So, in general, for every devotee, male or female, the basic underlying principle is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable, accept it. Whatever is unfavorable, reject it. So now, for example, Srila Prabhupada wanted varanashram to be established. But even for males today, what kind of varna are they, and can they serve according to that varna? It's very difficult to determine that. So then what kind of jobs will, if then the men have to work, what kind of jobs will they, even if they have Brahminical inclination, now can they teach Shastra and earn a living, especially if they have to, and make a living if they are, especially if they are going to be Grahasthas? It's very difficult. They might take some Brahminical job like becoming a college professor or a researcher or something like that, but that may or may not be practical always. So in general, there will have to be a contextualization and individualized application even for males and similarly for females. So in general, especially in places like India and Indianized societies in the West, where the traditional culture is there, or the traditional culture, there is at least the aspiration for the traditional culture to be there. But over a period of time, women, as they become serious devotees, they gravitate towards the traditional roles that are talked about in the Vedic literature. But it's not that this has to be forced on anyone. Ultimately, serving Krishna is voluntary, and different individuals can have different talents, and accordingly their service to Krishna can be facilitated. So this will depend on one's family situation, the kind of service opportunities available in the local temple or the local devotee community, and the specific psychophysical inclinations of the individual involved. So Srila Prabhupada gave general principles, but if we look at his way he dealt with devotees, he was very personal, very sensitive, and very encouraging in helping and inspiring every single soul to move towards Krishna, irrespective of whether that soul was in a male body or a female body. So Srila Prabhupada's giving a standard, giving a particular kind of model in the scriptures, and encouraging a different kind of model in the early days of ISKCON. Are these two sending contradictory messages? Not necessarily, because the early days of ISKCON were extraordinary times. Now we have in the early days of ISKCON people being given sannyas at the age of 25 or earlier also sometimes. And Srila Prabhupada has also given the standard of sannyasis in his books. So one should have no sex desire. And certainly it's very difficult to say that those who were just maybe a few years, maybe less than maybe a decade or so into their youth, they had become free from sex desire. But Srila Prabhupada did that because that's what was required for preaching. So Srila Prabhupada was practical in applying scriptural principles. Now as ISKCON has become more stabilized, now there are very strict norms for sannyas. And similarly, for other things also. So other things would include the social role of women. So in general, Vaishnavism is not absolutely dependent on Vedic culture. So we have to understand the difference between the two. Vedic culture is a very broad culture. So the Vedic culture involves Varanashram, the division of humanity into four Varanas and four Ashramas. So without that also, Vaishnavism can be practiced. Even today, most of the devotees in various communities all over the world, they're chanting Hare Krishna and making spiritual advancement. And we have many Prabhupada disciples and even some grand disciples who have departed from this world in excellent consciousness. And it has all happened without Varanashram. So therefore, Varanashram is not absolutely essential for the practice of Vaishnavism. Now it is a matter of discussion, debate, vision on how Varanashram can be implemented in modern society.